Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the many listeners that we have throughout the world, and also the four exciting and talented players who are going to partake in the show this week. We welcome back the irrepressible Paul Merton, the witty Peter Jones, the erudite Clement Freud, and the formidable Stephen Fry. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Jane Gibson, who's going to help me keep a score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House, right in the centre, W1A, 1AA district of London. I mention that in case you want to write in. And we begin the show this week with Paul Merton, and the subject, Paul, is flirting. Oh, tell us something about that delightful subject in this game, starting now.
Certainly, Nicholas, you gorgeous creature.
My girlfriend always thinks that I'm flirting. If I'm ever to kiss another human being with tongues or to feel a pert bottom, she considers this flirting. It's outrageous. She has a very jealous nature because I think the very act of flirting is kind of like a social cohesive glue. It brings us together. We're allowed to flirt with one another in a happy-go-lucky way. Perhaps in the old days we might have had a fan fluttering in front of our face, and we look across the room. There is that rather special person, a shy, coy look downwards, and then a look perhaps over towards the buffet.
And Stephen Fry challenged.
Just so damn good, but I'm afraid there were two looks.
There were two looks, yes. It was going extremely well, and they were enjoying it. The audience were actually responding to your flirtation.
I said I'll go out with them if they want.
They can get the first round in.
Yes.
Right. Stephen Fry had a correct challenge, so he gets a point for that. He takes over the subject, which is flirting, and there are 21 seconds available starting now.
Who was it who said that a woman should always give in straight away, otherwise they're accused of being a flirt? I don't know who he was.
Clement Freud challenge.
I don't know.
What is your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute, Clement? Do you have one?
He asked me a question.
He wasn't actually looking at the audience, and none of them responded. No. Clement, we enjoyed your response, so I tell you what I do, as I often do on these occasions. I give you a bonus point for a clever interruption, but as Stephen was interrupted, he gets a point for that. He keeps the subject of flirting. There are 14 seconds available, starting now.
Those smouldering bedroom eyes, those kiss-me-quick ears, those...
And Clement's Roy challenge.
Three of those.
Three of those, yes. And Clement, you've got him with a correct challenge of Just a Minute. This time, 9 seconds available, flirting Clement starting now.
I had a friend who flirted and sought medical advice. And the doctor said, do you do it often? He replied, infrequent. And the medic said, is that one word or two?
Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, and whoever is doing that gains an extra point.
In a way, it's one of the sad things about the game, is he can speak for 39 seconds, which is jolly difficult, and not get a point, because he started. It's sort of unfair,
The irony of this show is you can do all the hard work and speak for 59 seconds, and then someone comes in with 1 second ago and gets 2 points. Yeah. It's a tough game.
It is a tough game. It's a tough, brutal, hard game. A game for men and women and others.
But it's certainly not a...
Still.
Not the traditional game of two halves.
No, right. No,
Peter Jones, will you take the next round? Lovely to hear from you. The subject is mint. Tell us something about it in Just a Minute, starting now.
Mint is a wonderful herb, and it grows like a weed. If you put it in a garden, it spreads and more or less kills and annihilates all the plants around it. But mint tea is another thing altogether, and I remember having some when I was in Morocco, and we went on a little journey trying to find the desert, which eluded us. But we did... eventually, we arrived at a tent, and an Arab brought out a cup or mug of mint tea, which he said was very refreshing. And I nearly threw up. In fact, the memory of it now makes me feel a bit queasy. And so I may not be able to go on for the full 60 seconds because I have to retire hurt and be replaced by somebody else. I can't think who could do it, but it would be nice if they were able to.
That was an example of what Stephen was just saying. I mean, you've been for 52 seconds. All that hard work, and the audience loved it. I mean, huge laughs. And Stephen's got in with a correct challenge with only 8 seconds to go. He takes over Mint. And
have you got your own watch?
No, I haven't. I feel such a brute.
Yes.
I've got a strong feeling I'm going to repeat the word buttery, so look out, just in case I do. Oh, you never know.
No, right.
You never know.
Right.
You're ready for this?
Yes, I am.
8 seconds, Stephen, on Mint starting now.
Buttery. Of course, the real Mint.
And Paul Mer...
I said it once.
He's about to repeat the word buttery.
I'm sorry, Paul, we can't have psychic challenges. They don't work, you just submit it. So, Stephen has another point for being interrupted, or an incorrect challenge, actually, and he has 7 seconds on Mint starting now.
The Royal Mint, of course, buttery, produces money and all kinds of things like that.
Peter, you're the only person in this Herbert plays this game who gets a round of applause for challenging. And what was your challenge, Peter?
It was repetition. Of buttery.
Of buttery, yes!
Well, listen, got two rounds of applause. Although you didn't allow my challenge, it does prove that I'm psychic.
Yes, it does. Peter, you've got 4 seconds to go on Mint. Starting now.
It's literally where they have a place.
So Peter Jones justifiably got 2 points in that round, and he's now in third place. Well, he's only 1 point behind Clement Freud. Stephen Fry's in the lead. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is making a silk purse out of a sow's ear. A long subject, but talk on it if you can. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I think the saying is that you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Therefore, making a silk purse out of a sow's ear would be difficult. I once left in my car a note on the window because I had parked on a double yellow line, and written upon the piece of paper was, "Have run over cat, am consoling owner." I think what you have to do is make the best of a rotten lot, which is what making a silk purse out of a sow's ear probably was intended to convey in the initial saying of that non-axiom.
Peter Jones' challenge.
You seem to be grinding to a halt.
A fine one to talk, if I may.
Oh, they love each other, don't they? Right. We interpret that as hesitation, Peter, so a correct challenge, a point to you. 18 seconds available. Making a silk purse out of a sow's ear, starting now.
Well, I suppose it could be done, because pig's skin is quite a good kind of leather, which you could fashion into a purse, though if it had to be from a sow's ear...
Paul Merton challenge.
Well, I think it's a deviation, because the sow's ear isn't made of silk. So you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
No, you can't.
So even if you took the sow's ear and made a purse out of it, it would not be... I believe it's a saying that encompasses what I'm trying to say here. Because the purse is silk and the pig's ear is not silk, you cannot make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, in fact.
But you can make a pig's ear out of a sentence.
We let you go on that one, Paul, because we did enjoy it. But it is a correct challenge, and you have 6 seconds on making a silk purse out of a sow's ear, starting now.
Making a silk purse out of a sow's ear is very difficult indeed.
Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and they're all pretty equal at the end of the round. And Stephen Fry, your turn to begin. The subject, limbering up. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
What a wonderful phrase, limbering up. I don't know what it implies. A sort of certain amount of oil being applied to the skin somehow. I don't know why I should think that's true, but I do. Girding the loins, a favourite phrase of our beloved Nicholas Parsons, and I used that word, of course, wrongly. It's a kind of phrase, isn't it, limbering up, that you use before contests, races, Olympic events, pentathlons, decathlons. If I wanted to start making a catalogue, I could. But I'm not going to, because I don't play the game that way. When I limber up for this game, I tend to try and think of words and try, of course, very hard not to say the word try all the time. I repeated try.
And you've actually challenged yourself, Stephen.
A repetition of try, which was just really ridiculous.
I know. Well, you were listening to yourself, at least.
So more than anybody else was. And who can
blame
them?
So that is a correct challenge, I suppose, within the rules of just a minute. I've got to give it to you.
Oh, good.
And you have 27 seconds to continue on limbering up, starting now.
Can't really limber down, can you? I don't know why. What does limber mean? I suppose limb, leg?
Peter challenge.
He doesn't even know the meaning of the word.
Peter, you have limbering up. You have 21 seconds starting now.
I see people limbering up before they go into the park for runs round it. And they stand holding a pole and raising one leg after the other, and then they start running. And
Stephen, you challenge.
Can I have the address and time? Because I want to see this. It sounds very exciting.
We'll interrupt you, Peter, so you get a point for being interrupted.
Ah, yes, of course.
And because it was an incorrect challenge. And you keep the subject. Another point to you. 9 seconds available. Limbering up, starting now.
They always look so unhappy. Their faces contorted. And I raise my glass as I look through the window. That's the only exercise I have. And they...
So Peter Jones was speaking as the whistle went, as well as other points that he gained in that round, and he is now in the lead at the end of that round. And Paul Merton, your turn to begin. The subject, my sixth sense. You've referred to that more than once in just a minute, but talk on it if you can, starting now.
My sixth sense tells me that the Welsh assemblies and the Scottish one...
Clement, your challenge.
Devolution.
Brilliant, Kevin, brilliant. We give you a bonus point for that. I wish I could give you two, but I could then...
Give him two.
No.
Give him one for the Welsh and one for the Scottish.
Very quick challenge, right. But, Paul, you were interrupted, so you get a point for that. You keep the subject 55 seconds. My sixth sense starting now.
I suppose by sixth sense we mean our psychic abilities to see into the future. The mist is...
Stephen Fry, your challenge.
The mist has enveloped his mind, I'm sorry.
Yes, yes. So we call that hesitation. 45 seconds available, Stephen, for you on my sixth sense, starting now.
My sixth sense is actually not exactly an ability to see into the future. It's an ability to see sideways.
Clint Paul, challenge.
Oh, bother.
Ability.
Too much ability.
Dear, what an arse. So sorry.
Thank you, Stephen. If you'd said that earlier, I wouldn't have challenged you.
Paul, you have the subject back of my sixth sense, and there are 38 seconds available starting now.
I see five people.
Stephen, challenge.
A repetition of see.
Yes, 35 seconds, Stephen, my sixth sense starting now. And Paul Merton, challenge.
He's thinking it.
Oh, you see, yes, but I didn't repeat, did I? Because he got it. He's got the same sixth sense as me, and I was transmitting it. Most of the audience got it. Did you not pick it up?
I did indeed, but the audience were a bit dead.
No, they picked it up. They knew what I was saying.
They've gone home most of the time.
I was using my sixth sense to, without Paul. Repetition or deviation.
I know.
I did hesitate slightly, though. You're probably right.
You were absolutely silent, actually.
No.
Paul, I agree with your challenge. 33 seconds, my sixth sense starting now.
Mystic Meg, that charlatan, appears every Saturday night on television saying things like, oh, a man in Peterborough will get something very surprising through the post. But, you know, but...
Clement challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, well, that's hesitation. 21 seconds, Clement. Tell us something about my sixth sense starting now.
I think people are pretty lucky to have a sixth sense. Those of us who only have 5, 4, 3, or 2 manage to get along famously, whereas a sixth sense, which is, I believe, something which comes to you not from the written page, nor from something which you have read.
Stephen Chance.
Two somethings, yes.
Yeah. And you very cleverly or naughtily, whichever way you look at it, got him with 1 second to go. On my sixth sense, starting now.
Is rather peculiar and illegal.
So Stephen Fry, being as little when, gained an extra point. Now, they all three are equal in second place. Behind Peter Jones is still just in the lead. And Stephen Fry, your turn to begin. The subject, rubber plants. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Of all the tedious, wearisome subjects I've ever been given on this game, I think rubber plants just about sneaks the Garibaldi. I've never heard of anything so absurd in my life. The strange, green, dusty things people have in the corner of offices, I suppose. Never found them appealing. Is a yucca a rubber plant? That's a rhetorical question. I don't want Clement Freud to interrupt and tell me. They're just dull, strange, peculiar things that I have no interest in whatsoever, and I'm sure very few of the listenership have much, frankly, to have a torch or candle on.
Poor Merton Challenge.
A mercy bit.
Yes, it's a bit of a rubbery subject, isn't it? I agree, yes, but there we are. Paul, 33 seconds, rubber plants, starting now.
Well, I rather like Stephen, I find them rather boring objects. I think you do put them...
Tamifoy Challenge.
Two rubbers in the first sentence.
Rather
like Stephen, sorry.
Yes, all right, Clement. 28 seconds.
Well, that happens to be my word of the week. I've been sponsored by the Rather Council.
Rubber plant is with you, Clement. 28 seconds starting now.
Rubber plant is a snooker term, and what you do is you...
Paul Merton Challenge.
Deviation, no it isn't. A rubber plant is not a snooker, so don't look at me in that bewildered fashion, Nicholas, I'm telling you.
I'm playing for time. I don't think it's a snooker term.
No, rubber plant, no.
No, rubber plant. What is it, Clement?
A snooker term.
I'm going to stick my neck out here.
Give him a chance to speak in his own defence. You can't condemn the man unless he's allowed to offer us a convincing explanation of why...
That's what I did ask him to, but he declined.
No, he said it was a snooker term, and then you immediately overran him. He may be...
I didn't overran him. I waited,
what
Stephen.
Refers.
Have you deliberately come here to be argumentative?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, rather.
Right.
No, I haven't.
Clement, are you going to just...
No. Not at all.
Let's find out what this rubber plant is.
Les, what is a rubber plant in snooker?
It's a snooker term.
You gave him a chance. Hang him. Hang him. Hang him.
Yes. I think the fact he can go no further convinces me that he was bluffing. And you were allowed to bluff in just a minute, but I have to know whether it's right or not. So I give you the benefit of the doubt. Paul, you have 22 seconds on rubber plant, starting now.
Rubber plant is a term used in billiards. When you have the red ball and the white ball up against the cushion, if you can...
Clement, your challenge.
Repetition of ball.
Yeah, two balls.
It is all balls.
That's nice, isn't it?
15 seconds, Clement. Back with you. Rubber plants, starting now.
Rubber?
Peter Jones challenge.
Hesitation.
Well done, Peter. In there like a knife, right. And you've got 12 seconds on rubber plants, starting
rubber
now.
Rubber plant is an expression used by people who don't play snooker. That's the explanation for whatever.
Hesitation, sadly.
I'm afraid so, Paul. Yes. Correct challenge. You've got it with 2 seconds to go on rubber plants, starting now.
Picture the scene. A rubber plant standing...
So, Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he has moved forward into second place behind Peter Jones, who's still in the lead. And, Peter, it's your turn to begin the subject. When less is more. A bit of a two subject, but talk on it if you can, starting now.
Well, I don't think I can talk on it for a minute, but I think in view of the subject, the less I say, the better.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of think, thereby proving Peter right. You did repeat think.
You
I don't
did
think
repeat
I can.
Think,
I did, yes.
Yes, I know, right. So, Paul, you got in first. 54 seconds. When less is more, starting now.
This is a term you often hear in theatrical circles where people say you don't need to do a 3-hour show, give them an hour and a half, leave them wanting more. And I believe this is approachable.
Common challenge, right.
Repetition of hour.
Of hour or hour?
A 3-hour show, 1.5 hour.
42 seconds for you, Clement, on when less is more.
In the restaurant trade, when less is more means that more...
And Stephen challenge.
A bit of a hesitation there.
I
was never doing it.
39 seconds, an incorrect challenge with you, Clement, when less is more, starting now.
You see a greater expanse of plate as there is less food upon it. This is when less is more.
Stephen.
Well, is definitely a word that proves hesitation.
That was hesitation, yeah. Stephen. You've got in there with...
Where was the hesitation?
You said
And I gave it to you, the benefit of the doubt last time. I give it over to Stephen this time, which is only fair thing to do. When less is more, 30 seconds with you, Stephen, starting now.
Very kind of you. Of course, in theatrical circles, which Paul was pointing out, we often say in that camp where we have Anton Lesser is Kenneth Moore. Because those are two actors. That's rather a revolting way of saying it, of course. It also implies the level of performance, that simply underplaying the role rather than screaming over the top in some vast manner can often create a much more likeable, much more realistic effect.
Paul Tallant.
Too much more. Oh,
too much more. Yes, so, Paul, you got him with 8 seconds on When Less Is More, starting now.
I want you to imagine a situation. You're a farmer, deep in the heart of Norfolk. You're in the middle of a field.
And Stephen Challenge.
I suppose, unless you said the second one was urine, it's 2 years. You're a farmer, you're in the middle of a field, I assume. It's possible. It's possible it wasn't a repetition, but in which case it was simply deviant.
So, correct challenge, Stephen. 2 seconds on When Less Is More, starting now.
Less is also more in this game we call Just a Minute.
I don't think this has ever happened in Just a Minute before. At the end of that round, they are all four equal in the same situation. And so, and if you want to know, they've got quite a lot of points between them. Clement Freud, it's your turn to be in. The subject, Charles Dickens. Tell us something about that great man in this game, starting now.
Charles Dickens was born in 1812, which is the date of the Battle of Trafalgar, 3 years before Waterloo, I just thought of.
Stephen Fry.
No, it isn't. Trafalgar wasn't in 1812, was it?
No, it was 1805,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, 7 years out. Way off. It was the year that Napoleon went to Moscow, hence the Tchaikovsky and everything.
Near enough.
Yeah, quite. Fair enough. 7 years.
So, Stephen, you've got in with 49 seconds on Charles Dickens, starting now.
I feel really awful about that. I think he was born, wasn't he, in Portsmouth or Plymouth or one of those places? Definitely, Peter. Definitely the first Peter. One I mentioned.
Yes. You've challenged Peter.
Yes.
Hesitation. Hesitation.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Right. He definitely said,
Plymouth and Portsmouth, you know, one of those.
He wasn't deviating, he hesitated.
We'll get a lot of letters from the West Country, and they'll all object to that.
Wait a minute, I don't say, have you started? Because I haven't said now yet. Are you working, or are you just...
working? What do you mean? Tonight?
Are you going on the subject, or were you chatting to me?
I was just chatting.
Oh, that's
good. God knows if there isn't room to have a few personal words. What's the point of flogging myself in a day? Ridiculous.
It is traditional, which I thought you might know after all this time, Peter, that I do say start now, so we can start the clock going.
And you do it beautifully, too.
I know. The reason is we have to start the clock on the now.
Ah,
so
right.
Sure,
yes.
Get the acronym.
Poor Jane.
You have the subject, Peter, of Charles Dickens, and there are 42 seconds starting now.
Wonderful writer. And one of the best things he ever did, I think, was a description of his journey to America. He described the cabin and the ship and all the other passengers on it. And it's absolutely riveting. Better, really, than many of the novels that he also penned, and which I've enjoyed over the years many times. And they make films of them, as you well know. And he was an actor, basically, because he really liked to perform and have a little dais on the stage. And he entertained people, and he could make your blood run cold. I won't say he was better than Paul Merton at doing that kind of thing, but he certainly would have challenged him had he been alive.
With that interesting information about Charles Dickens, kept going till the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's equal now in the lead with Stephen Fry, and the other two are just 2 points behind, equal in second place. And we're into the last round, so those interested in points and so forth, it's still anybody's contest. And Stephen Fry, it's your turn to begin. The subject, peeling an orange. Tell us something about that in this game, if you can, starting now.
Peeling an orange, a procedure which I am spectacularly incompetent. I tend to push my thumb into the navel, if it's that kind of omphalic fruit, or simply use a knife, really. I don't know if that counts as peeling. I peel after the implement of cutlery has inserted itself into the skin.
I pull back. Peter, you've challenged again.
Hesitation.
He did hesitate a long time back. Let him go for quite a while.
I was generous.
Yes, I know.
He was
generous.
And
after he pushed his thumb.
I couldn't hear you anyway.
And, after he pushed his thumb in, and he hesitated, he thought of the image he created of going into the navel like that. Yes, I thought it was quite a sick-making thought, but you got him for hesitation.
I met a man the other day who said he was a naval doctor. I didn't know they specialised that much these days.
Surgeon.
Really?
Right. Any more interesting comments? Right. 32 seconds, Peter, for you on peeling an orange, starting now.
The best way to find out how to peel an orange is to write to that man who writes in the Sunday Telegraph, I think it is, on etiquette. And people write with the most extraordinary problems.
Come on, Freud challenge.
Repetition of Stockholm.
Yes, he didn't say Stockholm, but what's in your mind in saying that?
I'd like him to have another point.
This is a novel and highly generous way of playing the game. And,
you asked what was in my mind.
You're right. And he definitely didn't say Stockholm. I was listening very
carefully. So, Peter, point.
If I did, it was only once.
Well, Peter, you've got 20 seconds to keep going on peeling an orange, if you can, starting now.
In Sweden, they peel oranges in an entirely different way, because the skin is usually thinner there because of the cold weather, you know, and they don't have a lot to do. But once they've got it off the fruit inside, then they're able to enjoy it with a glass of schnapps or something equivalent that they...
Well, Peter Jones, with a little encouragement from the others, kept going until the whistle went, gained that extra point, and I will now give you the final score. A lot of points were scored, amazing number of points for one show, but very fairly, actually. Clement Freud, Paul Merton and Stephen Fry all finished up equal in second place, but just ahead of them was Peter Jones. So, Peter, we say you're the winner this week. Popular winner, undoubtedly. It only remains for me to say thank you to our four intrepid players of the game, Peter Jones, Stephen Fry, Paul Merton, and Clement Freud. We thank them. I thank Jane Gibson, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle beautifully. We thank Ian Messiter, who created the game, our producer and director, Chris Neal, Martha, our recording engineer, and we thank our lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre in London for attending and encouraging us. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Hope you enjoyed it. Next time we play Just a Minute. Thank you.